making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
LeBron James escapes to the front court, and the Celtics will not foul. A Boston Celtics season that took turns we could not possibly have imagined takes them all the way to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. But the King was not ready to be dethroned. The final score in Game 7, Cleveland 87, Boston 79. The Cavaliers defend their Eastern Conference title.
That Celtics game didn't go as planned on Sunday night. I don't know how you guys felt about that one. Sort of upset the apple cart this weekend. That wasn't supposed to go down like that.
Okay. I really don't know how to... I'm not upset that they lost. Because I didn't... And I don't know if Jim's with me on this, because I know Jim said house money, right? You tell me before the season, and I know we do that, but we adjust expectations as we go along. They go to a Game 7 at home against LeBron James. I had zero expectations for them to win this game.
None?
No. Zero? Well, I mean, going into it, I just thought, you know what? This team's going to play better. They didn't have Kevin Love. They were, what, a plus 20 without Love, minus 18 with him. So I'm thinking, so this might actually
help. So at the end of the first quarter on Sunday night, you thought they were going to lose?
No. I'm talking before the game. So this is why.
Okay.
You know, and then it just goes, it just comes unraveled. And they pick the worst night to have the most horrendous shooting. And I've been trying to learn more and more about this team that the open guy takes the shot. That's part of the Brad Stevens offense, right? We're going to have movement. We're going to have motion. If you've got the look, we want you to take it. We've sat here and we've talked to him on Wednesdays. You cringe when Marcus Smart takes some of those shots. No, we want Marcus to take that. Or Morris takes a horrendous shot. You name it. But then you want to pull your hair out because you don't find a way to get Jason Tatum the ball. Or Al Horford's good in the first half, and he completely freaking disappears in the second. Like, where do you want to start with? Like,
there's a lot to get to in this game.
I mean, there is.
But
they,
you know what?
They didn't get their ass kicked by them. They lost this game. But I don't want to say they choked.
Can I give you a big picture issue I have over the last couple of days? And that is that you knew as soon as the Cavaliers won the game, the story was LeBron. They wouldn't even be in this spot without LeBron. We all know that.
This one almost validated him because he did more with less. I don't know.
He's the best player in the world.
I have more of an appreciation for him because at his age and as many minutes as he's played this year, this is not the best supporting cast this guy's had.
He is great.
He was down 2-0, and he was down 3-2.
No one's trying to take that from him.
He brought their ass back.
No one's trying to take that from him, that he's great and played well in Game 7 and was out there for the entire game. But you knew nationally the story would be that LeBron is a hero. This is one of LeBron's greatest accomplishments ever.
Woke up Monday. My brother-in-law goes, don't put on ESPN. Whatever you do, don't put on ESPN.
And nationally, I get it. That's a much better story to tell. That LeBron is the hero and he took over and won his team a game. I get that. Do you know what annoys me? Is anyone locally who is doing the, oh, LeBron's just so good. How could you beat him? What? What are you talking about? The Celtics scored 79 points in a Game 7 at home.
You held them to 87.
And they were absolutely wretched in shooting the basketball when they got back home. And that is what ultimately determined what the hell happened in this game.
Yeah, and in a weird way, you don't. This may be good because you don't have that false sense of security with like a Terry Rozier and the calls that we took 2 weeks prior here. That kind of found its water, right? The whole Rozier story. Scary Terry. Ooh. Who's scared now? You know, who's scared now? Kid had a good run.
How about
they need Kyrie?
Don't
they
shoot 34% for the game and 17% from three. How about that? Can we just expect that? Can we expect you to not take so many dumb threes? Can we expect you to hit a few more? They had a ton of wide open ones.
Did they get tight?
Wide open.
Did they get tight?
I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning is. I don't know if game seven was in their head. If they
like to see they've gotten tight on the road.
Mentally
some
couldn't
other
handle the stage of game seven.
The place was going nuts. You had that wave. The fans were trying to will this team to victory. And it almost happened. When Jason Tatum had that freaking dunk down the middle of the paint, right over top of LeBron.
Yeah.
And he actually went for the chest bump. You got Morris standing there. He's screaming, whoa! You know? But Tatum was actually feeling it. And then he stuck another one on that. I thought, there you go. They may have this.
Big picture, season picture. It was great that they went this far. This should go down as a great season. Because it was. This was great that they went this far. Game 7 against the Cavs, Eastern Conference Finals, without Kyrie, without Hayward. Fabulous.
Took the first two.
Absolutely.
You went up 2-0 on them.
You can say that, and you can be aware of that and acknowledge that, and then also talk about the series itself and say, how did the Celtics not win this thing? They're up 2-0, and then they're up 3-2. What happened over those last two games? What happened in Game 7? Because they had plenty of opportunities to win this game in Game 7. And you want to say they choked it away in a Game 7? That's not unfair to say they didn't really show up in Game 7 the way they have. You feel like you got the Celtics' best effort Sunday night? Do you feel like you got their best game?
No. You come away from that.
And if you did get their best game, was Cleveland doing anything that was insurmountable for the Celtics that they couldn't defeat? No! Not even LeBron James.
I don't know. Aren't you a little more upset? Like, if you get the Celtics' best effort and you lose in the final 10 seconds of that game.
You'd feel better about it.
You would?
Yes. Yes. I look at Sunday's game and I say, wow, we didn't even get close to the best version of this team. In game 7 at home. Isn't that when you expect your team to show up and give their best? And they didn't.
Feel like you get the rug pulled out from under you. I don't know.
I'd rather they lose in the tight one.
Yeah, LeBron hits a step-back 27-footer. All right, what are you going to do about that?
Then I say, that's LeBron. Well, yeah. That's why it's hard to beat the best. But they didn't even make it really all that hard. They gave it up in the second quarter.
They gave the game.
They lost the game in the second quarter of that game. They never could get themselves
you
back.
You had a chance. You had a chance at the end of that first, going into that second, to step on their throat, because that team may have looked exhausted. You go back to, what was that, game 5, where he was totally spent? I'm like, oh my God, look how tired LeBron is. We sat here and talked about it for 2.5 hours, how tired LeBron was after
maybe
game 5.
Maybe the Celtics were tired.
They didn't look it. They're too young.
They were tired or tight? One of the
tight.
One of two things.
Well, it's got to be something.
That's tight. Diamonds, remember?
I don't pretend to
remember
know.
Remember the diamond cold discussion? They're cutting diamonds. Game 7. As that thing wound down. You cut diamonds. You became a jewelry maker.
So we'll get to some of the specifics of the game, because there was one, I think, positive that came out of this. You expect the best version of your team. You also expect the best players to sort of rise to the occasion, and I thought one guy in the Celtics did rise to the occasion. That was Jason Tatum.
There's been a separation between the two young guys, the 20 and 21-year-old guys that Tommy Heinsohn talked about. That's your problem, because you got to go to them. No, that's a good thing, because that's going to help those guys in this team moving forward. But boy, was there a separation created between Tatum and Brown? I felt they were sort of even, you know, going into these playoffs. But after watching them and watching them closely, Jason Tatum separated himself.
All right, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the specifics from the game. But big picture, yes. Was it a good Celtics season? Of course.
Yeah.
We all know that. We all know that this team wasn't supposed to be in this spot. But they did get themselves into the spot. And then when they had a chance to close out the Cavs, I don't feel like we got the best version of the Celtics on Sunday.
Some people termed that a choke.
That leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth just at the end. But on the whole, good year. 617-779-0985. We'll get your calls on the Celtics. Dan Shaughnessy will be joining us at 11 today. We will, of course, get to the Red Sox as well. David Price, Hanley being out of town. A lot of stuff to get to today. What's today? What are we calling today? Welcome back Tuesday?
That's a welcome to the show, Peter. That's what we say.
That's our new intern.
Peter.
Yeah, all of that on the way.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
The Celtics have never lost a series that they led 2-0. They're down 4. Smart spins away from Korver, picks up his dribble, bounce pass for Tatum. Tatum, left-hand dribble, drives on.
Oh!
Flushes hard on LeBron James. He couldn't block that one.
Hey.
Sometimes you wait for the torch to be passed, and sometimes you say, I better go take it. Jason Tatum just ignited the crowd, and LeBron turns it over for the seventh time. Interior pass picked off by Marcus Morris. Celtics down two with the ball, 6:21 to go. Everybody on their feet here at the Garden. Marcus Smart, watched by LeBron James. Jaylen Brown comes to get it left side. They want to go inside to Morris. That's who's got the ball against Korver left side. Double team comes. Kick out Jaylen Brown. Smart shovels to Tatum. Up fake. Steps to his left. Fall away.
Boom!
Got it!
No! Where's the nurse at when you need her? Where is she?
The Celtics have the lead in Game 7, and it's Jason Tatum who has led them there.
You hear that? Screaming. Desperate for defense. That's a ball game. Under six. Kid carries you. The 20-year-old kid carries you in two possessions. And that's where you get your heart ripped out as a play-by-play team. And I've been there. You got the lead late in the fourth. And you're thinking, all right, this is it. We're going to the finals. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Dagger. Because we got somebody screwed up the damn play. And I think Marcus Smart took the next ridiculous three that he missed. I don't know.
Wasted no time in taking another three. I'm stunned.
Oh, he was open.
I'm stunned. Many bad threes in that game. Ugly threes.
Why do you got to take the three? Why is that all of a sudden a why is this a game? And even a team like Houston last night, you got to try 27 threes? Why do you got to do that?
Oh, no, they didn't try 20. They missed 27 threes in
Thank
a row
you.
Last night.
Thank you. Yeah, why not go for two?
I watched that game six on Saturday night, Cat and the Warriors and the Rockets, and thought to myself, this is like the NBA basketball is just three-point. And I'm like, the Celtics actually play basketball. They get the ball inside.
They move.
They get the ball. And then they did exactly what the Rockets did on the next night. They did exactly what the Rockets did. While I'm watching the game, I'm like, wow, thank God the Celtics aren't like this.
And
no, they were exactly like that in game seven.
And so if you're trying to figure that part out, it's because they weren't ready to play in a game seven. It was too big for them. They couldn't handle it. Most of them couldn't handle it. Jason Tatum looked like he could handle it.
You know what?
But Smart, Rozier, even Jaylen Brown, they look ready to handle it.
See, it's the guys that have been there so many times. Like, you know, Brady talked about that Atlanta game. Like, we had him where we want him, even though we were down 18 or 25 or whatever. No, you didn't. But in the back of your mind, you know, this game's different. Does LeBron and that team know? I don't think that team knows, because I think they sit there and wait for him to tell them what to do. But he's been there. How many NBA finals now is this guy going to? 11 years since he hasn't been in? I mean, there's some edge to that. There is. But, man, is that a good thing that the 20-year-old kid elevated himself.
I just want to be a real jerk for a minute.
Go ahead.
Are we trading Kyrie Irving today? I'm just curious.
Yeah, he calls. Hey, any of you teamers want to trade that guy? Yeah.
Terry Rozier, 2 of 14. 0 of 10 from 3. 0 for 10. I just didn't know if we were going to trade Kyrie in the next couple of weeks.
The upside. You know, he plays on both ends.
Get ready
of the court.
To make a deal.
You don't understand, Beto. It's the value, you know, for what you're going to have to ultimately pay Kyrie and what you could keep Rozier for.
And you know what? A player can have a bad game. Doesn't mean the player sucks. Doesn't mean that he's not good. Just this is the difference between
having he's gotten tired.
Terry Rozier as your starting point guard and Kyrie Irving. If the Celtics had their team fully intact, they were going to the NBA Finals. They were.
Yeah.
They were going. Wasn't the case. Some of the young guys didn't look ready for a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron. Some of them did. Jason Tatum was clearly one of those guys. That's one of my positives I'm going to take out of the game. It's one of my positives I'm taking. Always looking at the glass being half full. 617-779-0985. Tommy Milton on Marcus Smart. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Beetle. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, listen, I'm just curious. Would you resign Marcus Smart for like $15 million a year?
For how many years?
Three.
No. Nope. Would you?
Smart said he's way worth more than 12 to 14 million.
Can we do that for like a year? Can we go year to year on that? He thinks he's worth more than 12 to 14 million. Yes, those are his comments. The ESPN.
Does he affect the game? Yes,
he does.
Yeah, you get a different energy when this kid plays. Yeah, can't take that away from him. See, here's your problem. And for the people that will defend him and say, yeah, we want to pay him that. We could sit here and go through 25 guys in a league that can't get paid that type of money that you would rather have Marcus Smart over. You know, do you hold him against, you know, what the league average should be for what the value of that individual player is? I'd say no. You find a way to keep this guy. I'd like to keep him. I'd rather keep him over Rozier.
Well,
when you know Kyrie is coming back.
When you go back to what, you know what Zach Lowe said, he thinks that once the market opens up, the market will not be there for Marcus Smart. He's going to find out.
Good.
He's going to find out that it's not a good market. He's going to find out there's not a lot of teams looking to sign him because he obviously thinks he's worth $12 to $14 million. I've also heard some things about his agent not being the best of people to deal with. I don't know how true that is.
Sounds like Malcolm Butler.
I've heard that. No, not from a... it has nothing to do with the Celtics. One of his previous clients had issues elsewhere. I'll get the story on that. But he's not going to get $14 million a year from the Celtics on a deal. He's just not. They're not going to give him that.
Ainge loves him.
I know, but they're not going to give him that.
Depends if Wick wants to pay the tax.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, when asked about this, you know, Danny did say that there is a willingness on the part of ownership to be in the tax.
Yeah.
And to spend.
Which is good, which kind of opens Danny's eyes a little bit more and maybe even be more creative. But Chris Forsberg had this tweet this morning of Danny Ainge when he was talking about Kyrie and him. He said, I get a kick out of the fact that everywhere I go, people don't think that we need Kyrie or need Gordon Hayward. I have a much longer memory and remember how great that those guys were and why they're here. So we need Gordon and we need Kyrie. We're a much, much, much better team with those two. Just for the people that want to keep, you know, Rozier.
But the Smart stuff, honestly, who cares if they pay him? I've heard also in NBA circles, like insiders saying that, you know what, the Celtics don't have that contract that you can trade. They almost need like that contract that they can trade. So if
bad
Smart
expiring
gets like
deal.
12, 13, yeah. 14 million a year, they might be able to trade that contract,
Jim,
too, down the road, like in a year or two.
Assuming it's not a very long-term deal.
How much did Evan Turner end up getting when he left here per year?
Oh, he got paid crazy.
See, 18 a year. He hit free agency in the right season, though.
Yeah,
if Marcus Smart was in free agency that offseason, he would have gotten the same amount.
But that's my point. We could go through the whole NBA, you know, all the guys in the NBA and say, here's the people that make this much more than Marcus Smart. You say, I'd rather have Marcus Smart. So don't hold it against Marcus Smart because, you know, the lack of offense.
I'm not. He should hit the market and make as much money as he can.
He should. But I hope the market's not there and it comes back, just like Edelman.
I don't really think the market's going to develop. Not for that kind of money.
Yeah, and how many guys actually
he might get a halfway decent offer, but he might decide it's better. Again, this is the Zach Lowe. We give credit to Zach Lowe for this theory that he's going to look at maybe some of those offers and say, well, if I just go back to the Celtics for a season and play it out and then hit the market again, I'm going to have a much better prospect of getting my big deal next year. And, hey, along the way, maybe you get to the finals next year with this Celtics team. Mm. Maybe you're competing for a championship, not competing for just the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, look what happened to Harrison Barnes when he made the finals. Got a max deal from the Mavs.
See? There might be something, a little cherry on top there as you go into free agency next year. So that could be part of it, too. Let's go to Steve in Miami on Brad Stevens. Hey, Steve.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
You probably have a big board, so I'm going to hit a few things. One, excuse me, any Celtics fan who is upset and hateful about the Patriots is crazy. Nobody expected them to go this far without, forget Hayward, but Kyrie Irving. And anybody who wants to trade Kyrie Irving, just remember how well he did during the season and what he took them to. Secondly, in a way, I hate doing this because what a great coach he is. In a way, I sort of blame Brad Stevens why he didn't pull his guys back and say, hey, the three-pointers are not working. Take it inside. Take it inside. And the third thing is, what happened to Al Horford in the second half?
Thank you.
I mean, 3 points? I mean, that's the...
Where are the rebounds? You know, here's another thing. When they were launching those threes, everybody was standing there around watching. You could have had second chances. They weren't clearing the boards.
I'll tell you why. because they were afraid of getting beat in transition, because that has happened in this series quite a bit.
It was like this big shell. That's like, why they were, it was like an umbrella.
Oh, they were getting back. They wanted to get back on defense.
Even Horford, like 7 freaking feet, and he's 18 feet away.
They were afraid of getting burned by LeBron and Jeff Green. Jeff freaking Green. In a game 7.
See, that's
why.
That's the part that makes you angry, too, Jeff Green.
I mean, I've heard this. You know, where was Al Horford? I'll tell you where Al Horford was. Watching all his teammates jack threes. That's what Al Horford was doing. That's on him?
Get inside.
And that's where I say, okay.
Or give him a... I'm with you, though. Like, give him a better option. But when Marcus Morris has the ball, he ain't looking for options.
No, he's looking for Al Horford.
He's never looking to pass.
Marcus Smart, let's just jack another three. Come down the court, shoot the three.
They were deflated.
Because they were there. And you know what? I thought by the second half, they were like, go ahead, shoot the threes. Take them. You guys suck tonight.
Second half.
Go ahead. Take your threes.
Game 2 of the series, they were letting those guys shoot.
617-779-0985. Let's talk more about Brad Stevens and the Celtics and thoughts from Game 7. I was a little disappointed with Brad Stevens postgame the other night. A little disappointed.
Was it too?
He was too quick to be all about how great LeBron was.
Part of the journey, too.
Like, there was no, you know, issues with the Celtics that night. It was all just, getting beat by the best in the world.
Pain is part of the path.
Pain is part of the path.
You learn teaching moment.
Is self-inflicted pain part of the path?
It's almost like he expected it. Like, we got a lot of LeBron for
that's
two
exactly
weeks.
Right. It was almost like he had just resigned himself to the fact that he was going to lose to LeBron.
Hey, some teams are just happy to be there sometimes. That was us in 96-97. Let's go to New Orleans and party.
All right, we'll talk about that coming back on the other side with more of your calls after these headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox take on the Blue Jays at Fenway Park tonight after they got the 8-3 win yesterday to begin the 3-game series. David Price, who according to reports was driving his ginormous truck down LaGrange Street in West Roxbury this morning, got the start manager Alex Cora. Big truck.
Good job. The change of backdoor cutters, front door sinkers. In the beginning, it seems like he didn't get the calls, but he kept going there. It was a good outing.
Tonight, it's going to be Rick Porcello. Oh, by the way, Price went 5 innings last night, allowed 2 runs, had 4 strikeouts and 4 walks. Tonight, it's Rick Porcello getting the start opposite Marco Estrada. Vegas Golden Knights took game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final over Washington last night, 6-4. Golden State on to the NBA Final. They defeated Houston last night in Game 7 in Houston, 101-92. Headlines are brought to you by Ace Ticket. They have the best deals on seats with the outstanding...
Sit your ace down.
Best deals on seats with the outstanding customer service you deserve. Visit aceticket.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He's unbelievable, and I think we've played now till May 25th and May 27th the last 2 years, and we started on September 25th, and that's every day, like every day, that you're totally focused on this. And he's gone past that 8 straight times. It's ridiculous. And does it at this level and with the pressure, with the scrutiny, doesn't matter. It's just unbelievable. I thought it was an outstanding defensive game. And again, he's still got 35, 15, 9. It's a joke.
Not just a joke.
But the first part of the question, the timeouts, I just called them when my mandatory timeouts were coming, with the exception of the J.R. Smith 3 in the third quarter.
I don't have any issues with his timeouts. I know some people do. I don't. I have an issue with that. Oh, it's LeBron. I have an issue with the threes. I have an issue with some of those things.
And again, he's still got 35, 15, 9. It's a joke.
And then you got everybody like, oh, regardless whether you win or lose, moments like this is what makes sports. And it's Jason Tatum and LeBron hugging.
Again, I flipped
and
over.
And then you're reminded how much larger.
Wait a minute. You didn't like that moment? That was an awesome moment.
It was an awesome moment.
It was great.
But when you're on the losing side of it, you don't like it.
What do you think LeBron was telling him?
You're the next.
You're going to be a bleeping star in this league, kid. That's what I think he told him.
Yeah, you're going to be here for a long, long, long time.
I had more respect for LeBron after seeing that.
Yeah, I understand that. It just sucks when you're on the losing end of it. That's all.
So he says LeBron still got 35. Does Brad remember game two when LeBron had 42 and lost? I mean, you can let LeBron score and still win the game.
You see how much bigger LeBron's shoulders were?
Yeah, just hit your shots. Just hit your shots. That's exactly right. Score more than 79 points. That's all it takes. I couldn't really agree with that. I get it. Again, those ESPN guys. Oh, what a joke. What an absolute joke after the game. But you knew it was coming. You knew that Doris Burke and you knew that everybody on Scott Van Pelt, you knew they were all going to be all over LeBron.
But it flipped. It flipped. It wasn't
their job. It wasn't part of their job description there.
It wasn't the story the whole fourth quarter. It was like all of a sudden there's 3 minutes left. Oh, they're going to win.
Oh,
we got to start talking about LeBron.
LeBron, LeBron. I'm like, what is this? And you know what, though? Jim, we've been doing this for over a decade. We get that, right? You expect that.
That was a pretty hard flip, though. It was like it went from one side to the other quickly.
I'm not stunned.
It was Jason Tatum is the next guy to, no, LeBron's the man.
Which is why when you hear it from them, you're like, take it with a grain of salt. That's what they do. But you hear it from Brad Stevens, and you're like, oh, come on, Brad. Come on. I know you don't want to rip your own team. You just lost. Your season came to an end, and you guys had a good year. But how about you say, we can't afford to score 79 points and expect to win. We can't shoot that poorly from three and expect to win.
I want to know what happened to hitting singles. Like Zoe said, why weren't they going inside?
I don't know.
Hit singles. Oh, no, they went for the home run every time down the floor.
Like, even Isaiah Thomas, when he was here last year, he would occasionally drive and hit that ridiculous high floater. And it wasn't a three every single time down the court. But when you were launching him, there was nobody inside. Nobody.
I told Zoe on the way in, I'm not that upset about this. More talking about it as the game, about the individual parts of the game, I'm getting more upset.
Yeah, because
in the last 40 minutes, I've gotten more upset than I was all weekend.
Talking yourself into a choke argument.
Jim, the Celtics, seriously, defensively, were not bad in this game.
You held them to 87.
The Celtics defensively had a decent game. Isn't that one of the most disappointing parts?
Yeah.
That defensively, they played okay.
We said Friday when we left, they're going to lose game six, but they're going to hold the Cavs to under 90 in game seven. You're thinking NBA
Finals.
That's
it. Finals. Book it.
You're talking yourself into a choke here, is what you're doing.
And not only that, there are all those baskets.
Too many things
are
lined up for
meaningless.
You.
The problem is they didn't name me like one guy that like choked. You can't. There's like five guys.
Rozier. Terry Rozier. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown was not good.
Brown ball.
Down the stretch in these
Jaylen
two games.
Jaylen Brown did not have his best game.
Nope. Last two games, not good for Jaylen Brown.
A sneaky part of that game, by the way.
Horford disappearing in
that
the second
double timeout
half.
That Ty Lue
brilliant.
Called.
Brilliant. It was the
that gave LeBron his rest.
It was the only thing he did all game because if you listen to Ty Lue post game, the first answer out of Ty Lue's mouth post game was, I don't remember. And all he was asked about was, Ty, we just heard from, and I'm paraphrasing. We can actually get the audio, but I'm going to paraphrase for you. Ty, Brad Stevens said the second quarter was pretty pivotal in this game. Thought that was a big swing. You know, do you agree with that? And do you know what he said? What do you think he said?
I don't. Which book?
Honestly, I don't remember. What?
I don't remember.
What? You don't remember the 12-2 run in the second quarter? You don't remember that? How do you not remember that? A general question about one of the four quarters played in a basketball game. You don't remember the second one. He didn't remember. Yeah, he had no recollection of it.
You think
I don't remember.
You think game seven was physical and I don't want to say dirty enough. Dirty's the wrong word. But did they not muddy it up enough to wear him down or to get the other guys to check out or take a bait? I don't know.
Yep. Down front.
Here we go.
Ty, Mike Petralia, CLNS Media. Down 35-20, right, I'm sorry, 35-23 down. Brad just said when he and his team couldn't extend the lead, he thought that was a pivotal point of the game. What did you guys do to stay in the game at that point?
I don't remember. I really don't. I mean, I know they went up 12. We took a timeout. Just told our guys to stay the course. We was getting good shots. Our defense was pretty good. And, sooner or later was going to make. And
was he watching
he
like the Celtic?
Remember.
Does he watch the Celtic
remember.
Dancers? Does he look at the board?
I don't know.
Does he look around? Does he just check out mentally?
So the two timeouts, right? I say brilliant for him. And I didn't understand the reaction in the game broadcast. So, like, well, that's interesting. I'm like, he's going to lose the timeout. This is perfect. It's use it or lose it here. Can't save him for the end. You know, you're limited now. So he's thinking, hey, let's get LeBron the rest. Call another one. Use it up. Let's go. Keep, you know, catch your breath. Get your wind. Get your legs under you. It was such a just aware. It was an aware coaching move. It's the type of thing where you expect something simple that, like, the Patriots do on a regular basis, but everyone else forgets to do. That I thought, there's no way Ty Lue called that time. Who told him he could call that timeout? Like, which one of his assistants was like, Ty, make sure you call another timeout here.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. Why? I don't remember who told me to call the timeouts. He didn't remember the second quarter. How general of a question is that? Earl in Boston says, I'm a jinx. What did I do?
Oh, boy.
It's just hilarious. Like, you're the jinx, man.
Thanks, Beetle.
During the Super Bowl, all you could talk about is, oh, we're not going to lose to Nick freaking Foles. And then all through the going into the game, to the other games, you're like, Jeff freaking Green. Jeff freaking Green was the difference in that game, you know, with his scoring and helping out LeBron, because for that first couple of quarters, LeBron had zero help. He was, and you guys are saying that the Celtics was doing great defense. They weren't doing great defense. Cleveland was getting wide open shots and just missing. J.R. Smith was just missing everything. Culver was missing everything. The person who kept them afloat until everybody got up was Jeff freaking Green.
I still can't believe they lost to Nick Foles. They shouldn't have lost to Nick Foles. Play Malcolm Butler and you don't lose to Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, LeGarrette Blount, Brett Celek, some guy named Andahar.
When did we talk about Jeff Green, though? When did we talk about Jeff Green? I don't remember that. I'm not saying he's wrong. I just don't remember.
We're just laughing throughout the course of other games within the series when Jeff Green would pop up.
Oh, that stings, though. Don't get me wrong. He's right. Jeff freaking Green. I'll go with that. Yeah, we can say that.
Jerry LeBron,
Jeff freaking Green. Where was that Jeff Green when he was in a Celtics uniform? Making meaningful plays and meaningful shots in big games. Making it look easy. Where was that? I think the Jeff Green we saw on Sunday was the Jeff Green that Danny Ainge had envisioned all those times that he talked glowingly about Jeff Green. We finally saw it. Jim, we finally saw the Jeff Green the Celtics liked. Finally.
Hey, Perk's going back to the finals.
Stop it.
This is like a kick in. Hey, seriously. It's like the Bob Lobel. Why can't we get players like that?
No, it ain't
kicking
like,
the nuts.
It's not like that. I don't want Jeff Green.
What about Vegas? And the amount of guys that are scoring, it used to be brewing.
That is true.
This is a kick in the nuts Tuesday.
Even Jellyhand.
Seriously.
Jellyhand Connolly.
He get one hand and he scored a goal.
He doesn't even have any bone structure in that hand. And he scored a goal.
It's like you take a rubber glove, you fill up a liquid and attach it to the thing. He's trying to grab his stick with it.
Shaughnessy will join us at 11. We were gone by the time Dave Dombrowski had talked on Friday about Hanley departing. Were you surprised by his answer? I think you were.
I was floored.
I was too. We'll
get
to it.
Drove off the road.
Yeah, why don't we touch on that next?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it was a baseball-related move for us. We've been looking at making a move because we knew that this day with Dustin would come where he'd be coming back probably since February, since spring training. We talked about different possibilities, when somebody will be ready, when they won't be ready. We talked about all different type of possibilities. So for us, it really is a baseball move.
Well, that's the BS we expected to hear. That was not surprising at all.
Yeah, shoving the poo right there.
Baseball. Well, I've been talking about this for a long time now.
It's only a baseball move.
It was certain Dustin was coming back. We've been talking about it.
By the way, I think he's partially right. I don't think it was only driven by money. Many of you do believe it was only driven by money. I don't buy that. Of course it was a factor. That certainly factored into the decision. But I don't think it was simply driven based on they didn't want to get to the 497 plate appearances. They didn't want to get to that point. I get that. There are other ways around it. And if Hanley was expected to be, you know, a great guy about it and a great clubhouse presence, if he was sitting on the bench, I don't think that they're worried about you know, getting rid of him in the month of May. So that's one part of it. Baseball decision, you knew they were going to hammer that point, and Dave Dombrowski did. What I did not see coming, though, is this part, and you didn't see it coming either. You said you nearly drove off the road.
Yeah.
When you heard this.
I talked to Alex about yesterday, Alex Cora. We were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move. He called me. It was about 11:30 in the morning. I was getting ready to go for a run. And Alex says, I've got a thought for you about what we're doing. And he said, this is a move that I would like to make. I recommend making it. Ultimately, it comes into my final decision. But he said, I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. He's a good player. He's played very well for us. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits handling on the bench well. It gives us an opportunity to keep Blake Swihart and also be in a position where Blake could get some more playing time.
I just love Dave Dombrowski. I could listen to this guy talk for a while. So I was getting ready for a run. It was after I had stopped by the Dunkin' Donuts and kind of polled those guys on what they were thinking about the roster move and what we should do. My God. I just love this guy. Okay, here's the deal. I think there's some truth in what he said. I think there's a lot of truth in what he said. That's a pretty thorough answer in that he said, Alex said Hanley's not a guy that will handle sitting on the bench well.
I agree with that. I just can't believe that Cora went up to him and it's just all Cora's idea. Mr. New Manager here.
So do you think it's BS?
How can it be BS if you're going to hang a guy out like that?
That's how I feel.
The lie would be
so big that there's no way he would do that. There's no way he's putting that on Alex Cora if Alex Cora didn't actually call him and say, I think we could get away with dumping Hanley.
Boy, I would say Hanley would be your biggest leader in the damn team and one of the guys that looks like he understands the clubhouse and has the clubhouse. Hey, Mr. GM, I just want to speak to you because I like to probably, designate for assignment one of our best hitters or one of our best clubhouse guys and most popular in Hanley Ramirez because I want to play Mitchie Two Bags more and keep Blake Swihart. Well, what about guys like Brock Holt? Those are more valuable players than Hanley Ramirez?
You're right.
That doesn't make sense.
It's a valid complaint to say, you're in a playoff series and you need a powerful right-handed bat.
Yeah, when things
Who do you want? You want Hanley on your bench or do you want Brock Holt? The answer's Hanley, but that's in a vacuum.
But
that's not dealing with the reality of the situation.
You know there's going to be stretches where you're going to be in the doldrums of summer and you're going to need that type of bat to carry you.
And so I said that. We said that on Friday, that there's no way that he is the least valuable player that they should move on from. But how can I complain? How can I be upset when I am all about and have always been about having a good group of guys, having a system, having some order within the clubhouse, and Cora has his finger on the pulse and says, we're not dealing with Hanley being a jackass once we bench him. We got a good thing going here. We have best record in the major leagues. We're flying. I'm not ruining this with this idiot, right? Like, if that was his thought, I'm not dealing with a diva when he gets benched. We're not dealing with this guy. He's going to be disruptive and we don't want the disruption. We're focused on winning games. How do you fault him for that?
I think his role was going to diminish, and for how good of a player he is, it was going to be difficult. Probably platoon, maybe come in and pinch hit late in games, and that's not the perfect role for Hanley Ramirez. He's a guy that he needs his at bats, and obviously with the versatility we have with the other players, with Brock, with Nunez and with Blake, as far as managing the game, is a lot easier that way with those guys.
But do you know how hard it is to set a precedent that you're in charge as a manager in baseball and that if you're going to be a jackass, I'll make sure we get you out of here? Do you know how hard that is to do? Do you know how hard that is to do to a guy who makes $22 million a year? Cora just did it. So you can say, what, Cora couldn't deal with him? Isn't that why you pay a guy to manage the personalities?
No.
He just managed the personality already. He managed him right out the door, which gets everyone else's attention. Like, wow, Cora's not messing around, huh?
It just sucks. It's like the first time you started to really come around and like this player. I know he's had a tough go at it.
Not in the month of May. Well,
I understand he sucked in the month of May. But he's ripping the damn cover off the ball carrying you in April.
There is also a theory, and it's a good one, that the Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski would have been motivated to do this move now in the month of May. If they got later into the year and they had to do it and he was hitting the ball like he was in April at a later point in the year, and then they, you know, decided to either bench him or to do what they did, which is DFA him, that there'd be a grievance. The union would file a grievance on his behalf because it would look pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You got to sort of hide it. You got to sort of bury it. If you dump him in May and say it's clearly a baseball decision, hard to prove that it wasn't. Because you look at the stats and say the guy sucked for a month straight, and then they let him go. And the manager was on board, and so is the GM.
That's amazing that the GM goes for a run.
See, I get that. I get why
you'd want to. He's a runner to me.
I do understand why you'd want to involve the manager to make it look like it was very much a baseball call, that it was not at all motivated by the money. But that would be too big of a lie and too big of a sword for Alex Cora to fall on.
Yeah.
And so I think there is truth in what Dave Dombrowski said, and I think it was a perfect storm that worked out for those who did not want to pay him next season, which is fine. I wouldn't want to pay him next year either. I get that part. But he could have had value to the team. Alex Cora said he will take away from the team if he's not in the lineup. I have a hard time arguing with that. I have a hard time arguing with any manager, coach, anywhere who wants the jackasses out of the room. Wants to clean up the room. So
I'll argue with you on that.
Good. We'll argue about it in 90 seconds. Dan Shaughnessy is here.
Here.
We'll talk about it in 90 seconds.